we look all around us, we see chaos everywhere. The world seems to be turned upside down. What used to be right and wrong, what used to be wrong and right. We just pray for our little community, Father. We see so many things going on. People getting shot. It's just crazy. We just ask you to protect us. We look right down the road and we see all these businesses coming this way. We realize our little community is going to change. There's probably going to be prosperity brought this way, but Father, let us be reminded that with prosperity comes great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Father, we pray that you would protect our policemen. We pray that you would protect our first responders, our fire department. Keep us safe in this crazy world that we live in. And Father, I pray that your blessing will be on this meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to call the July 5th, 2020, for two meetings order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to accept.
Yes. Well, you quick.
Second.
Motion been made, ready, second. Set the meeting. Minutes of the previous meeting. Call the roll. Please.
Joe.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Yes.
Jenny.
Yes.
Connie.
Yes.
Tim.
Most definitely.
Allie.
Al. Yes.
All right. See, we move on in. I was going to tell Brother Ron over there. I started to hold up because of the siren, but it goes on for a long time. It's a blessing, it's working. Okay. We're going into old business. I just want to mention the pump. I got word back again from Greg Guthrie's office and some of the other ones. They called me, Mark Lord, and them. The pump has passed a couple of more hurdles up in Washington, D.C., in a couple of places. It's not inch in stone that we're getting it. We're talking about the flood wall pump to get the flood water back over. So anyway, it's on the docket. It's moving forward. But as they said, every time you get further, you're so much closer. It's a blessing. But that doesn't mean you got it until you got it. So in doing so, the word got out, and I mentioned that before also, that the Corps engineers heard that we were talking about addressing something on the flood wall. In doing so, they contacted me again this week, wanting to know about it, because they're hearing bits and pieces, the same as we get from them, because they don't just call us and say, here's what the meeting was discussed. They just say whether they passed it or they didn't. And the Corps wants us to be well advised that I will have to meet with them and enter into an agreement with the Corps. And I want y'all to discuss this and bless it or not, that we have to reach an agreement with them so they will review the plans that submit to them for the pump. The Corps of Engineers has to do that. In doing so, they charge us. There's a fee for it. They didn't say what the fee was, but I held them off and held them at bay because we have not got enough ahead of the game to do the drawings that they want to look at, and I'm not going to sign a contract until I have to, but I like to know that y'all good would be doing that, because if we do proceed further and the drawings is the next step, then they'll want to see them before we can go further, and I don't want to have to call a special meeting for it, so I want to explain it to you what it is. Y'all discuss any questions or whatever.
The cost, I would just be curious to what they're going to charge.
I don't know yet.
So you would find that out after you gave the drawings to them? Or before?
Before. But they want to be entered into a contract before they'll say, I will look at them now. Now, what it's going to be, I don't know, but whatever it is, let's go here. We're going to have to pay it because they have to review it to pass it. And I would say there's probably a nominal number that they use.
Okay.
It's got to be a constant across-the-board number. Now, what is it? I don't know. They didn't tell me. Like I told them, I don't have the drawings, so I can't submit you something. So I'm not going to go into an agreement with them and owe them money when I don't even have the drawings yet, because if it doesn't go that far, I don't want to spend the money.
Does that need a motion need to be made for that?
I would appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make the motion that we let Larry take care of that when it comes in, if they need the drawings. And if we got to pay anyway, we're not. So I would just like to make that motion.
Second.
The motion to proceed with it when it comes down the pike in time, and second it. Any discussion? Sarah, call the roll, please.
Jenny?
Yes.
Joe? Connie?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
All righty. I'd like to also tell everybody that we had 3 applications come in for the public works job and 14 for the clerk. And I'm proud to say that in the interviews, I feel like any person that was interviewed could have done the jobs. I mean, it was that nice to see that much interest into it. And we proceeded on. We narrowed them down. I let her do the interview, and I sat in on it to make sure the questions was asked that I wanted answered. And she had a preliminary layout that she used for each individual. Some of them turned it down because of the money, what have you. We had one person. I'm just proud to say this, I probably shouldn't, but she actually stepped up to the plate and said, I have a good income, I'm retired, my husband has a good income, I want a job, I can do anything you have over there. But if you got anybody that can do it and wants to do it and needs the money and has a family, bypass me and hand it to the next person. That was really laudable of a person to step up and say that. So anyway, we narrowed it down, and we called back the final 2 or 3. 5 or 6 of them I never even knew, and actually we hired a person for a clerk that I didn't know who she was. So it is Brooke Hatfield. So when you go into the office, you'll see a new clerk. She started today. She seems earnest. She's going to be good, I believe. And she had all the credentials that's needed for that job, as well as I said, all of them. It wasn't a matter of this person can't do it. I'm just so happy that we had that qualifications of people apply. And we hired Caleb Duckett for the public works, which is kin to Dale. And out of 3 that we had, we took everything into consideration. He got the job and he's young. But so you will know, one of the stipulations that I put on his getting hired was he's not hired to be a public works just guy to mow the grass and that's all we need him for. He is expected to shadow Chaz, learn the job, and in due time show us credibility that he's trying to get his license. He has to get his license. So I'll have an evaluation in on him in 3 months, 6 months, whatever, see how far along he's going, how much training. And it ain't something he can do overnight. It's going to take a year to 2 years to get everything done. But you will be able to tell real quick whether he's got the heart for it or not. And he was tickled to death to say he would try that. So, moving on. On our new business, we have a clean water resolution.
Okay. And this is at the request of the engineer. This is for the clean water grant. We've already previously adopted it, but it needed to be adopted in this fiscal year. The resolution of the City of Lebanon Junction accepting the grant, approving the grant assistance agreement, authorizing the amendment of the City of Lebanon Junction's annual budget, and authorizing representatives to sign all related documents. Whereas the Kentucky General Assembly has appropriated funds for infrastructure projects in Senate Bill 36 of the 2021 regular session of the Kentucky General Assembly for the Cleaner Water Program. Whereas the City of Lebanon Junction, the grantee, has previously determined that it's in the public's interest to acquire and construct certain facilities and improvements to the grantee's utility system, the project. And whereas the grantee desires funding from the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority, the authority for the purpose of acquisition and construction of the project. Whereas in order to obtain a grant from the Cleaner Water Program for the project and administered by the authority, the grantee is required to enter into an assistance agreement with the authority. Now therefore be it resolved by the governing body of the City of Lebanon Junction as follows. Section 1, the grantee hereby accepts the grant award and approves the agreement the grantee and the authority to provide the necessary funds to the grantee for the project. Section 2, that Mayor Dangerfield is hereby designated to be the grantee's authorized official for this project and is hereby directed and empowered by the grantee to execute the agreement, related documents in agreements, and to otherwise act on behalf of the grantee to effect such grant award. Section 3, that the grantee hereby agrees and commits to include by amendment to its annual budget and audit process the receipts and expenditures of funds subject to the agreement up to and including the date of the project closeout. Section 4, that this resolution shall take effect at the earliest time provided by law.
You heard the reading of the resolution 2022-06. Any discussion? Motion to accept.
Accept.
Allie made the motion accept. Tim seconded. Sarah, call the roll, please.
Joe?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Allie?
Yes.
We have Municipal Aid Road Agreement Resolution 2022-07.
A resolution we do annually. Resolution 2022-07, Incorporated City of Lebanon Junction. Resolution adopting and approving the execution of a municipal aid co-op program contract between the Incorporated City and the Commonwealth of Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, Department of Rural and Municipal Aid for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2022, as provided in the Kentucky Revised Statutes and accepting all streets referred to therein as being streets which are part of the Incorporated City, be it resolved by the legislative body of the Incorporated City that the legislative body of the Incorporated City does hereby accept all streets referred to in said contract as being city streets which are part of the Incorporated City. The legislative body of the Incorporated City does hereby ratify and adopt all statements, representations, warranties, covenants, and agreements contained in said contract. It does hereby accept said contract and by such acceptance agrees to all the terms and conditions therein stated. And the chief executive officer of the said Incorporated City is hereby authorized and directed to sign said contract as set forth on behalf of the legislative body of the city clerk of Lebanon Junction is hereby authorized and directed to certify thereto.
Any discussion?
No, we should need a motion on that also.
Any motion on the resolution?
Motion that we merge into this resolution.
Tim
second.
Motion. Allie seconded. Sarah, call the roll, please.
Jenny? Tim?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
And Teresa?
Yes.
All right. Tools for the fire department, ARPA fund money that we agreed to let them spend. We have paper, y'all have paperwork on that also. Mm-hmm. So they've got the, it's listed, the numbers is in line. So we need to vote to proceed forward. Questions on it?
We're voting good, I think. Do we need to vote on it again? Mm-hmm. We do need to vote on it again. I make a motion that we proceed with what we originally decided on. Numbers are in line.
Second.
Tim made the motion. Allie seconded. Any discussion? Sarah, call the roll.
Allie?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Jenny?
Next on the agenda, as usual, it's that time of year again. We need to move some funds to operate the city, occupational. We're going to move $80,000.
Do we need a motion?
Yes,
I make a motion that we move the $80,000 from the occupational.
Second.
Yeah. Mr. made the motion. Allie seconded. Call the roll again.
Joe?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
All right. Go on down to the sign-in sheet. I got Mr. Erbring.
Yes. Just have a couple questions about the subdivision that appears to be going in on the Workout Road. What's the city's position on that? There's no site plans, permits, it's already split now. There's going to be a variance hearing on the 14th. for another property to be put up on the city's access on the easement.
As far as paperwork submitted to us, we haven't got anything.
Would the city be representing in opposition of this, possibly at this court hearing in Will County?
What he's talking about is...
I mean, they're going for variance on another splitting. The R1 residential that got approved, they had split that as soon as it was approved. Now they want to split it again. And then possibly, there's rumor, they want to keep splitting it.
I mean, it's hard for us. It's hard for us to make a decision and get a game plan against something we haven't been hit with what they want to do yet.
Right.
I mean, everybody hears rumors to the effect of saying that. You know, it's, people talk about
coming. Well, the rumor started, but now they're starting to happen. They're starting to sneak. They sold the build house.
They're building a house?
There's one house already built. At the end of Water Tower Road.
Yeah.
Now they've subdivided that in half, well, about 5 acres, and the rumor is he wants to build 10 houses on his 5 acres now, and he can build one at a time and slip it in one at a time so he doesn't have to go through, the rigmarole of building something.
Right.
Track 1's been sold with... People believe that there's water and sewer available. Track 4 has been sold. People believe water and sewer is available. They're putting a public utility access, 25-foot public utility access, on this new property, which is behind that corner, the corner property, which is track 2. I don't believe there's a utility access across track 2, and that is not a public access right-of-way. That is a city access right-of-way, and we own...
Right. I know when we get to a certain point up there, to answer your question,
we're entitled to go here.
The city can go on to the water tower, and you own half of the road, and
right.
He owns half the road. But when you get into that legality, that's between you and him. That's not got anything to do with us. Well, y'all on that road, y'all give us an easement through. We don't.
Rumor has it city's going to provide water and sewer, even though
we'll have to look into that when they tell us. Well, that's what I'm saying. We'd have to look into that and take it to them when they ask what they want. We can't. I'm not going to sit up here and speculate on what I think they want. I've been in this trap before with everybody around here.
Right.
Here says this and here says that. Until they lay something down and say, here's what we want to do. It ain't something you want to take sides and set a preliminary argument up against when you don't even know what they're asking for.
Right.
And I see your concern because you live right beside of it, and I do.
Well, I own half, all the way to the water tower.
Yes.
And now that track 2 is sold. So...
Did it have
it's
to go to plan
a,
and zoning?
It's not a public access right of way. It's the city's act right.
But it'll have to go to plan and zoning, and they'll have to do their digging and stuff, and then you got your time to go over and do your opposition before it ever even comes to us.
And so, you guys can't provide any kind of opposition to it until you...
To what? To what?
To this variance hearing.
We don't know that yet. See, that's what I'm saying. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
Until you legally hand us something, we can't go on the assumption that this you think somebody's going to do something.
Why not?
No.
But and we're a joint planning commission, so it's and that's a variance, and it's going before the Board of Adjustments. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with it.
It's a hearing on the third floor, wherever that
and
is.
Then it'll never come before the city. That will just stay, that will go before the County Board of Adjustments. And now I know the City 11 Judge has a representative, probably, on the Board of Adjustments. But rezonings come to the city after they can make the recommendation, but variances will never leave the planning commission. It will go before the Board of Adjustments, and they'll make a final decision on it. So if it's a variance, it won't come to the city. Now the rezoning did. I don't know if all those tracts have already been rezoned or not.
They rezoned the what's now track 2 and 3.
Okay.
The residential R1.
Yeah. Well, then
now they're subdividing half of, part of that.
See, that's what I was telling you.
A half acre at a time.
It's out of our hands what they do until it comes to us. So we have nothing to do with variances.
If it's zoned residential, then whatever is permissible under the Bull County zoning regulations for that residential zoning, they can do without any more, further approval. So I'd say really, I would be talking to planning and zoning. But once it's been rezoned, then really the council has no authority over that, as long as what they're doing is permissible within the zoning regulations.
And like I said, who is on the street? So, we have no border pressure. I'm to understand that new house, they wanted them to change the bedroom fixtures because the water wouldn't hold the diverter up to make the shower go.
When they put that house in, it met the 31-pound regulation.
But like I said, that's what they wanted them to change. Because
I mean, 31 pounds is just a little bit above the minimum. It is, but when you reach a minimum, you reach it, regardless. You know what I'm saying? So, but you're absolutely correct. That house was, I'm thinking, it was 31 pounds, wasn't it, Chad? 31? But we had to go up there and test it before they could do it, and that's what it was. So once it's at that level, it's been established, and they got to do in the guidelines what's there. But that's all we have to furnish them. That's a minimum. Can't go below 30, is my understanding.
You're going to have a minimum of 20 pounds of pressure to the house.
To the house itself.
The 30 pounds is on the water main itself. We tapped that, took the pressure test, and it was 31. So we got this tap. So that's where you're going by. Mm-hmm. But that house, when they get there, should have a minimum of 20 PSI according to the division of water.
Now, if you get into what you're saying, if you get into, you build a house and you change the elevations of the house, you change the pounds of the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
So we won't know what it is until they give us something to go by. And then we'll go out and check and see. And if it is, and you know yourself, those people are not really satisfied with the pressure. They moved in here from out of state.
So when, if there's a city utility easement put across that corner property, does that have to go through you guys too, or is that something that the county just does? I mean, it doesn't show on the plans here on the surveys that there's a utility across that corner property that tracks it up the city only right.
Before we could put our amenities across there, we'd have to have an easement that would have to be obtained from them to do that. And right now, we have what you know is there.
Okay. Okay, awesome.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's all I know, honestly. So.
Well, I'll be there for 14.
Don't blame you. Don't blame you a bit.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Appreciate you. Okay. Police chief.
Update on the car. They're saying we should or could see it in the middle of this morning. That's what we'll call it.
Pardon me?
Scott should be coming back to work here for a long.
Yeah,
I got to know that he's been a lot better.
Yeah, I heard he's feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
All right. And I did hear that in lieu of last meeting when we had the request to see about being up on Church Street as far as the speeders, remember? And they went up there and they checked and they stopped a few people here and there, a few speeders and this and that, as normal. And then we have had them out patrolling better. We've had two on the shift trying to get them together. And Chief has come out to have that second person trying to make sure we patrol what's considered the badder areas of speeders and what have you. But as we all know, you can be over here and have to go over there. So. And I'm proud to hear that nothing happened during the fireworks that everybody's had and done. So that's all you got? Okay. Let's see. Chaz.
The contractor came back, they lined the sewer manholes, and redid the manhole at East Oak that had washed down or whatever. Got that redone. Put the third dose of the sludge RX bugs into the sewer plant this month. Hopefully next week I can get out there and do a sludge judge and see if it'll make any difference.
Right.
And we had pipe eyes come in and run the camera, water jet water lines, from Hillcrest, East Oak, Half a Mile View, down through Brian's apartments, and Main Street. We got a major problem on right as you go into the entrance of Brian's apartments. Here's a picture of it. Because we're going to have to get it fixed. It's the emergency repair. Kind of set around to see what happened. The contractor contacted over that contractor. That's 6 foot in off the manhole. It turned into Brian's apartments where the line is about. It's only got a 4-inch opening, so we have to get that fixed. That whole line from Brian's apartments through there, the whole line has to be replaced. It's cracked and dusted all up and down through there. So we'll work on that when we get this fixed on that generator.
Get that worked out. And the water is
8%. That's good.
Okay. Fire chief. He's not here. Okay. Bypass him. Connie?
Good.
Tim?
Only thing I'd like to say is I'd like to thank the fire department for coming out to the gun club last Saturday for being on site for the fireworks display. Everything went well, and I hope they enjoyed yourself. I appreciate those guys coming out watching that to make sure we have the problems. Appreciate that. And the tree got cut out of the road. I don't know if you responded to that, so appreciate that also.
Jenny?
Just a couple things with the Ministerial Association. We're going to do our back-to-school bag July 29th down at the park from 6 to 8. And we're doing 300 backpacks. We've still got a couple items needed if anybody's interested. Composition notebooks and glue sticks. We've got a lot of churches that have volunteered to get the items. And then we have a sponsor out of the list all the donating and the backpacks. And we're expecting a big crowd this year. People are out, so that's just for grades K through 5. And then on August 7th, which is a Sunday, following that, we're going to have the ages, our grades 6 through 12 at the caboose, have a separate event because they require different things. So August 7th, 6 to 8 at the caboose, July 29th, 6 to 8 at the park for the younger kids. Lots of events, things like that will be there. And then again, tomorrow, turn around, we won't have food boxes. Dare to Care is going through a end of year fiscal thing, and my order was not ready for pickup today, so without not having anything in the 170 boxes I'm expecting, I just kind of postponed it again, and we'll move it to next week where we'll be able to at least fill a box. So get the word out if you can. And if anybody asks, I'm sorry, but I can't fix nothing in that area.
Well, you do what you got to do with. Appreciate everything you're doing anyway. Is that it?
That's it. Thank
you. Right. Joe? Allie?
No, except thank you to the city for our new storage facility outside. It's such a big improvement that it kind of blows my mind.
For those who don't know what you're talking about, and they do the Dare to Care out here beside the building. They have an old military truck box that's been used for years. Wouldn't hold much. It's really rough shape. So going into the end of the year, we had money in the budget for the community center, so I got them a little metal building out here to put the boxes and the Dare to Care stuff in out there instead of throwing it all around in the back here. So a little bit more room, nicer shed.
And it was much appreciated. And then Dare to Care will be the 18th of...
The 18th?
Yes, July.
All right. That it?
That's it.
That it? Teresa?
I only have one thing that I can think of. And I talked to you about it, you know, the speed sign that I wanted to see if we can get out and have it put around different places in the town. So I'm asking the council. I'm not accustomed to this. I'm accustomed to having all the information and say, here, this is what I got, and this is what I'd like to do. Y'all want to bless it off or not? But I don't have all the information as of yet. So I'm asking the council if I can get all of this information together. And then when I get it, present it to you all and see if we can roll with it. I don't know if there's any money involved, I know Terry is going to have to help me to find out how to go about it. I know that we have to have a permit signed by the police chief. I just would like to have a sign going down Main Street 25, one on Church Street 25, and then one on 61 35, when we have all of the traffic that we have, just to kind of remind people that please slow down. And it won't be three signs, it'll be one that gets moved different places. So
the digital ones?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. So is it okay if I...
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm not against it, but Terry may know this, but other departments, the vandalism on those things, how bad is that? Because they are lit up. And I know.
Well, it's not going to be a big sign. It's going to be, from my understanding, something that's small that you will attach to like a speed sign or something. What do they have in Mount Washington, Terry?
It's a speed limit sign with some flashing lights around it and it's run off solar power.
And once
it hits a certain speed, then it'll start flying.
And so that's kind of what my vision is, what I'm looking into. I just want to know if it's okay with y'all that I...
Look into it?
Yeah.
It kind of coincides with the stop signs you see in some of the other towns now. Just got the LED light goes around it red.
Right.
Kind of draw your attention to the sign itself. Yeah.
I think Will did have something. I think he had something.
I know.
Let me get one more here and I'll come back.
I'm good.
Connie, you good?
When you asked the fire chief, I thought you just wanted to know where he was at. I was letting you know he wasn't here. I was really looking for him. Sorry about that confusion. In Fridays, he gave me this handout to give y'all about the month of the run report, the rundown, 50-month-old calls for the month of June. Tells you what they are, like he always hands you guys. Something I wanted to add to it is last month's meeting, there were some questions we didn't, obviously wasn't ready for them, and since we didn't have anything to present to you guys for informational purposes. So, some questions about training was brought up. About the how our training differed from safe training.
So this is the Kentucky State Fire Commission's basic 20-hour list. We just pretty much transferred it over, put our little label on it. This is what we give our members. This is for the annual thing. And then from the State Fire Commission for a recruit firefighter, there's the requirements. And then to be a volunteer, there's the 150 requirements. And I can pass these around over there. So it's what we have, this our guideline for work to be compliance with the state. And also from the state, it says, here, I get it all to you here. Volunteer firefighters must receive 20 hours per year. And if not in compliance with members of 50% more of your membership with a 150-hour certification, that's where we can get a state EMS stuff, that $11,000 that we get. Since Chief Phillips is here, I know he was brought, Mary brought him up. We actually reached out with Chief Phillips, talked to him about trying to get with him to get his hour holder, because as a driver, an experienced service member, he is an asset at that point, given that he's down here, either at work or at his business, to come over. The day that Chief Coleman talked with Chief Phillips about some training, he still has the 20 required from the state to be able to target, keep everybody in compliance and out of trouble. The next day I came down to offer some training. He had a court date he had to get to, so he wasn't going to be able to do it. But he was more than willing, you know, why he's on shift or whatever, to come over there and get some training to help us out in a sense of keeping us compliant, also giving us that extra driver. So, we didn't take what y'all said in a negative manner, but we're trying to give a vision that we're trying to be compliant, we're trying to have, you know, quality members, we're just trying not to get in more trouble. We don't want to be in trouble. But we are trying to take other avenues to, you know, keep those assets available and have more.
Right, and I mean, when we brought that up, I mean, I wasn't going to go into all that, but all I care about is we have a good fire department, the best of our abilities. And y'all have proven that. Y'all have took it to a level that you just cannot expect. But in doing so, when I asked you that, and I was the one to ask, so I'm going to talk about it a little. I did ask about the minimum, and you said it was 20 hours. And then Josh said, right behind that, after 90 days, I expect them to have 40. Josh said that. It's on the recorder. So in doing so, that's kind of pushing the button pretty hard. And I want everybody to have all the training they can have. I do. But I don't want to lose the concept of Lebanon Junction's volunteer fire department. Because when you put such a criteria on somebody that will come down here, donate their time, and has for 30, 40 years, 50 years, whatever, and have their time put in to help. Now, they won't be, and I'm sure that, they will not be in the range of, if you credibility, get yourself up to 40 hours, 60 hours, 80 hours, 150 hours, whatever it is. I understand that, and that's wonderful. But if you have a person that's willing to try and get their 20, and they can't come in here that morning and have 20. It takes a little while to get it. So I have checked with other volunteer fire departments, and there's a lot more volunteer fire departments in this state, I'm sure, than there is paid fire departments. And I don't want to see a volunteer fire department pushed into a corner thinking, well, our criteria is that of a paid fire department. If we have the money to pay a fire department, that I understand that. I do. But in doing so, with our type of community and the budget that we have to work with, and you have people that's earnest down here with heart-driven felt that wants to volunteer and hold the hose. Now, if a person's on the other end of the hose and he's qualified and he's going in the house, and a person back here is, let's say, underqualified compared to that person, he can pull the hose. And that's where I used my summation the other day, that if I have an electrician working for me as a contractor, I have to have helpers to do things that goes along, and they have to be there to take some of the burden off the ones that are really, really super trained and are. And I want Lebanon Junction to be the top notch that it is. But I don't want the criteria down here. If you don't go there, we're eliminating your volunteer status by pushing you to the curb, because I know by talking to people that some of them are going to Boston Fire Department because they can't cut the mustard here. They're not doing that there. And then I don't want to see us having fire alarms, not have firemen. I understand that too. So, but I don't want us to lose, and I'm saying it as a citizen, not just the mayor. I want us to lose our heart-filled deal that Lebanon Junction has always had a volunteer basis. They've always had it. Before the new people came along with the high expectations, like you work for a paid fire department, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so does Josh. So I can see the mentality flowing, but with that comes y'all's expertise to teach these ones that wants to go further and better and higher. And it's heaven sent. It just is. But in doing so, you don't want to lose the core, the groundwork of a volunteer fire department. That's what we have. And I don't want to see us wake up one morning and say, we got 9 really good recruits that has all of this training, and that's wonderful, but it's all we have. And half of them may not live in Lebanon Junction, when there's people on these corners that would be willing to come in and give their time. And some of them's retired and they put it up. And I would like to think that we have the compassion for that style of a person to come into Lebanon Junction and be a volunteer fireman and help out and get what he's needed to be what he is. Now, not to the expectation level that they can go. Just like I said before, you can graduate college and make a living. You can go, you can graduate high school and make a living, or you can go to college and make a better living and be more efficient, and you can. But I'm just worried to death about us losing what's on the top of that building over there, volunteer fire department. Yes.
So I've been a volunteer for 13 years. I've been on Nichols. I've been on Southeast Bullet. I've been on Shepherdsville when they had volunteers. Mm-hmm. I was on Zumpton. I was on Taylor and Spencer County, and now I'm on the Lebanon Junction Fire. Mm-hmm. I was at a full 100% volunteer department in Nichols. Budgets similar to what it has here.
Yeah, I'm
familiar. They weren't a city, they were a district. And the training requirements there are more than what we have here. And I get what you're saying. You got people that are staying on the corner that are retired and they want to come in. The main reason that we have it, and I am partial to the reason that we pushed it, not the paid guys, the life volunteer guy. The reason why I pushed it is, if I get on scene with my four guys over here. And two of them have made all their trainings and they're good to go, and the other one hasn't. He don't even know where this stuff is on the truck. Now, if I have one of my family members inside the house, that's, the house is on fire, the person that doesn't know what he's doing is probably going to sit on the bunk. That's just my opinion. So the training that we're asking for is one training a month. Kind of like the city council meetings.
Right.
Once a month.
Yeah. And I can see that.
So it's not like we're trying to push the paid guys, because they train every shift. So every third day they're training. We don't do that.
But if you get one training a month, and then what, 2 hours?
2 to 3 hours, yes, sir.
So in 3 months, a person would have 6 hours training. By Josh on the mission, in 90 days, he's expected to go from 20 to 40.
Mayor, if I may, since I know this is recorded, so you
and I know what's said.
But I get it, and you can play it back to him if I'm wrong about this. The 90 days, because he caught him off guard, and you know what Rank was talking about today. Play that to him. The 90 days is a probationary period for him to come, for people to come in to see if they're a good fit, how motivated they are, and to get to know them. And then we vote them on if they want to stay. That's the memberships doing. The 20-hour basic from the state is for them to be able to be on an apparatus and to be able to respond. When he said 40, and I think you said, well, you did make it more strict, the 40 thing was for state crew guys to make sure they have 40 hours. Not they have to go through 40 hours training at our department, to make sure they have at least 40 hours training in the state so they can ride day crew, because they're rapid response, they're the first ones there, and we want to make sure that he can back me up, he feels back me up. It's important to having people knowing what they're doing when the first ones get there. And that's all of it. It wasn't 90 days you had to have 40, and 120 you have to have 90. That was not what he, that's not what he was meaning, and that is naturally not our standard and not what we're requiring.
Right.
Someone with his qualification and his training or his hours that he has long, maybe 1,000 or something throughout his career, he's met the minimum 20 that's required by the state for you to be able to ride an apparatus. Mm-hmm. The importance of it is annually to keep that 20 that the state requires us to be in compliance, so we don't get these things for lack of training. When something happens, they come and they say, where's your training records? Well, now we're slapped with driver lawsuits for the lack of driver's training or structural firefighting training hours. And this was a $2 million lawsuit the city paid out. We want to prevent that. We do not want to promote this. We do not want this. I don't want that on my conscience.
Right. Now, and I understand what you're saying.
So it's not trying to drive people away because either they think we don't like them or it's too strict. It's minimum standards. I mean, you mentioned Boston. Boston's already had 18 training hours this year. Mm-hmm. I think our assistant chief, Mark, gave that information.
I seen the printout from up there. They
yeah.
have people got 8 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours, different than they're on it. But I just know by looking back last year, I got it right here. A year ago this month, we had ample people down at the firehouse just about every day during the day. And they was there. Those same people are not around anymore. The same people. The same people that's on this list I got right here. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them are not around anymore.
I know James Keith was down there. Not to interrupt, James Keith was down there all the time, and he picked up a landscaping job because he couldn't afford the $40 thank you, which is now $50. And that's an incentive trying to get them to come down there. They still had to be willing to come down there and receive the $50 payout for a whole day where they can go do a side job and make that double or triple. I mean, it's just the times. It was just something to entice them to say, hey, We'll do this. We'll scratch your back if you help us out because we want it. Because our daytime is horrible.
Well, it's just like you said a while ago. You want somebody that will go into the house and save your life or your family's life. I don't want somebody standing outside the door and say, well, because you didn't have two more hours, I think you should have. You let my house burn down and me and my kids is in it. Because you're standing outside looking at your criteria.
Yeah, exigent circumstances.
Just like leaving the fire truck. Like if a fire truck was to leave the firehouse with one person in it, what does that achieve? What's that achieve?
And that, can I add to that? Because I'm taking my notes here. When they went out for a tree, I think it was last week, Adam Nance was driving, and he's an officer, supposed to be in the right seat. Is Terry not able to drive anymore?
Chief Phillips, go ahead.
I can drive. They're asking me to get my 20 hours worth of training for the annual year. He come and talk to me after me and Josh had our talk, and Dave Mark was there as a witness. I told him I had court the next day. It wouldn't be benefit, but Will showed up anyway. The police department said, hey, I'm here. There's a guy coming down. You can do some training. I said, I would, but I done told Josh I had juvenile court. I could not miss.
So my question was,
so, yes, I could have drove that day.
Okay.
But that was on Adam.
Right. So he, you know, he told you follow me in the fire truck. My big question, why did they take the fire truck out when they could take the rescue truck out?
I have to address that.
So, I mean, I think that's, for me, when I see it, and I see often, because, you know, I'm down there at Manny's, and I see a whole lot that goes by. So I don't think that fire truck really should roll with one person in it ever. Am I wrong?
And that's where I got the question I just asked you, because it come to me. And if I get asked, I got to ask you.
So, I mean, that I don't like seeing the truck roll with just one person in it, because there's nothing one person can do.
Exactly.
So, are you over the personnel, are you over the training, or how can that get addressed back at the department so that doesn't happen? Because it happens more than just that one time.
It's an operational thing. That's kind of my area. But if the directive that Adam gave Chief Phillips was the order he was following from Chief Coleman, because that's what he had said down in the letter. It's Chief Coleman sent the letter. About who can do what
and
what the limitations are.
Well,
okay, so a fire truck shouldn't roll with one person in it. That's
so if we're down here during the day and someone was to come out, Chief Phillips is able to drive, you're okay with the driver. But if it's just him that shows up, then he's going to be one guy driving the fire truck, and the only one that's okay.
You could hop in the rescue truck. I mean,
it's not a rescue truck, it's a forestry truck now.
You can hop in the brush truck, whatever. You can hop in a smaller truck that's going to use less gas than to take a big fire truck down the road.
Well, I think this is quit beating around the bush and everything about all this. I'm striving to try and make sure y'all achieve the excellence you want, but in the same token, don't leave behind the volunteer status.
We're not trying to get away from volunteer status. We're wanting to make sure that our volunteers get home at the end of the day. That's all we want. I mean, like you said, I mean, you can hire a guy to come in and wire some wires up, and if he doesn't know what he's doing, he's going to come our house or he's going to injure somebody.
Right.
So, I mean, everybody is in compliance, everybody is able to get home.
Let me ask you one more question.
Okay.
If it just keeps teetering down and less and less and less and you don't have the people, what are you going to do with the fire department?
That's your fire department. That's Josh and he's your chief.
That's why I'm asking you where the volunteers are going to come from and where we're going to keep the volunteers at. I mean,
I'm saying there's 33 people on our roster, 3 or 4 people got letters, and 28 or 29 other people are complying with what we're needing to do, and they're showing up when they can. They got to work. He's got to feed his baby. Right. I got kids in the house, truck paid.
I understand. You can't come down there because we ain't paying them to come down there and start with. We're giving them some per diem allowance to go against their time and troubles for coming down, their fuel and their meals and what have you, because they're volunteering their time. I don't care how you look at it, they're volunteering their time. We're not paying anybody. We're giving them per diem for coming down. So we're doing so. And I know that. And I know it's a hard thing to ascertain and make it work one way or the other. And there again, you'll never hear me say I don't want to follow. Because the fire department has went to an expertise I've never seen it before. I've been here all my life, and you cannot say it's not. But if you need the people behind it to put a structure under it to keep them going, we need to look at that also. If you had 40 people that had 20 hours down there, you'd be really pumped up to help the ones that's got a lot more hours, such as him and the rest of them.
Is there ever any online training that can be done? I mean, because sometimes people just cannot get
out. Yeah, you can do Zoom training.
Is there?
Yeah, there are state Zoom classes, and those are accredited. I mean, if they're the state, and that's what we enter the training back through. We just label it as their instruction. The instructor that was present and gave it.
That makes sense.
Well, let me say this. As far as a council member, and I think I could probably speak for almost all of them, we're not trying to mandate you or tell you how to run that fire department. That's not our job. That is your office job. Especially if a fire truck, if you all think a fire truck needs to leave there, whether it be one person or 10 people on it, That's your all's call, not ours. I will never hear the newspaper or the public say the city council didn't want that truck to go out because only had one guy driving. I know there's people that can meet there. So that would fall back on us as a responsibility. We don't want that responsibility. You all know what the call is, what the situation is. You know what it takes to answer. That's your all's decision to make, not ours. But don't turn what and what Larry said is correct. This is a volunteer fire department, and we know that. And you're going to have to work the best you can with what you got. Sometimes it's not easy. I don't know how many people we had working today. How many was down there during the day today?
He's in charge of scheduling shift. Lieutenant Erbrick is. He says zero.
Okay. And that's common. It's been more common than.
Okay.
So it, when this first came up, this concept of give this bonus per diem, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
It was going to solve all those problems. Well, evidently, it's not working. And I don't think throwing money after something is going to fix it. Because people, like you said, people have to make their livings. They have family support, mortgages to pay, and different things. And
yeah.
They, you know, life takes different turns. I heard you first started talking. You mentioned about 6 or 7 different volunteer fire departments. All right, how many are you on now? That's a long time. How old are you?
32.
And how many, 6 or 7 in that many years? So you've moved around a little bit, so you're seeing a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what's going on. And I bet we're all facing the same problems at every fire department.
So for the most part, we, down here, we're more of a family than most places are. I was on Dalton for 4 years. I was on Nichols for 7. When I was at Nichols, it was every Monday night. We didn't have council meetings. Their council meetings were on Tuesdays, where their trainings were on Mondays. So, and you had to make 50% of your trainings, but you also had to make 50% of your runs. In Nichols, you have to write down what time you're actually going to be at work. So, if you work a 9 to 5, that's what you write down. Anything from that 5 p.m. or say you go on 6 and you leave at 7, you got to make 50% of those trainings.
But if you,
those runs.
Did they have the, if you had people that couldn't make those trainings, but they could make the minimum state required 20 hours a year, were they still around if you needed them? I don't agree with that. If the state says they only need 20 to be a grunt, now I'm going to call that a grunt, to help out, why would you turn that help away?
And it's not necessarily turning that
help exactly away. It's exactly what it is.
Because, like I said, I've been a career volunteer, so my heart is in Lebanon Junction. When I moved down here, I wasn't going to join Lebanon Junction Fire Department. I was going to stay on Dalton. But when I met the people that are down here and I met the community, I felt in love. Come to find out, me and Miss Allie Phillips have a very, very close friend. I think it's your...
Michael.
Yeah, Mike Thompson.
My nephew is with
me. Mike Thompson's been a career volunteer as well. And everywhere we go, there's a requirement. This is the most lax that I've ever seen. And
so,
I love it.
So the state requirement is too lax, is what you're saying?
So the state requirement requires 20 hours. And I do agree that it's too lax. Because if you get 20 hours, period, that's all you do throughout the whole year, you can make that 2 months, and then for the next 10 months, you'll train. Well, we go over and change something on the truck, or we get these new tools that you all graciously gave us, or gave us the money for us to get. If somebody doesn't come to training, they don't know how to use those, they're going to end up like what Ronnie happened in Ronnieville 15 years ago, where a guy cut through another person's leg because he didn't know how to use the tools. He was a day 3 firefighter, but he had his hours and cut through someone's leg. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen here, and I hope that God it never does. But our training, the state training, yes, I agree 100%, is too lax.
But well,
I think the training is a good thing.
Correct.
Not against the training.
100%.
I think with training comes expertise, and I think with expertise it becomes more sufficient to save somebody's life or their home or whatever it may be. But don't turn those 20-hour volunteers away. Maybe they'll eventually work their way up to what you all want to be, but there's a place for everybody.
Yeah, and in the letter to John, I'm sure you've seen the ladies, you see, it's all observing. It didn't say that just until you get your training, you're not allowed to make any runs at all. It's just limited positions. But with extra circumstances, he can come in and drive if he's the only driver. Adam had actually asked me, he said, he can't drive, can he? I said, no, if he's there and he needs to drive, drive. Or he can ride officer. Right, see, he's got that experience from the department he's on. He can fill that role. It's just trying to prevent
So he could, if there was no other driver showed up, he could drive.
Yeah.
But if there was five drivers there, could he not drive if he needed to?
He can perform another role. He can get in the back.
I didn't want to ask you. Could he drive if they
If there's another option for a driver that has met the driving requirements, if something was to happen, I can say he has met, he's gotten the drive time, he's okay, so there's no lawsuit, that he can roll into officers. No, he cannot. He can ride up an officer's seat. He can ride in the back.
See, I don't understand that, because if he can drive, if there's only one driver there, and he meets the minimum requirements, why couldn't he drive if there was four drivers there? What's the difference? It's because you all have set a standard.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Yep. All right. Hearing nothing else, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I've made a motion to adjourn. Mr. Second. Call the roll.
Jenny. Joe. Tim. Connie.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
And Allie.
Yes.